Father, we come again and we marvel at your word because your word is just able to put its finger on a lot of things that are going on inside of us. And that is a big part of what your word is for. And Lord, your desire is not just, well, it's to point it out, but then to deal with it so that these things can be fixed and so that we can walk before you the way that pleases you, the way that you want us to. And that we can have true fellowship with one another and with you, and at the same time be a light to this world around us. So, Lord, today as we approach your word again, let us not be parceling it out to those that we wish were here or to someone else in the building, but rather let your word speak directly to us on any point where we know and sense, Lord, that there's a need. We want to be open to your word. We want to receive your word. We want to be transformed by your word. Now take your word and use it in our hearts and in our lives. We pray for your glory and your purposes. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. When we were last in the book of James, we were in chapter 4, and he talked about the cause of fights and quarrels among us, and also why we don't get certain prayers answered, and a number of things. And he said that the solution for that was to submit to God. He says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And that was verse 10, and that is where we left off, where he says, humble yourself before the Lord. And if we are to learn anything from the Lord or have any real change happen in our lives, it's going to have to be because we have maintained a humble attitude before the Lord. If we have a I don't care attitude or we have a proud attitude, then the Lord is not able to deal with us in that area or in an area where we have a need. And I just want to, today we're going to follow the rest of what he says in this chapter and on into chapter 5, because as I saw, and it really does make sense, this idea of humility is actually tied in to everything then that follows for the rest of this chapter and about half of the next. And I want us to take a look at humility today. Now, don't raise your hand, but I will ask this question. Do you consider yourself a humble person? Now, it's been said something about that if we have to tell people we're humble, then we're probably not. I just get the feeling that a lot of people feel like humility is a wonderful quality that we either kind of have or we don't. We're either kind of born with it or we're not. It's admirable, but I think that there are people that feel like humility is sort of out of reach for them. I do believe that. And so, and I think we do that with some other qualities of the Christian life too. Well, so-and-so is that way, but I'm not that way. But actually, any of these qualities are fruits of the Holy Spirit, and they are things that the Lord wants to work in each and every one of us. And of course, we have to define, and I don't have this in the notes or anything, and I'm going to talk quickly here. But let's talk a little bit about what humility is and what humility is not. Humility is not low self-esteem. Humility is not saying, well, I don't deserve anything, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I don't really have this ability, or it's not a great sense of unworthiness. That is not humility. Humility does not negate what we actually are in the Lord. Humility is not always being last in line. It might be. But it isn't always. Humility is not a self-effacing attitude of just always downplaying who we are. But humility is the ability to admit when we are wrong. That's one thing that humility is. And it probably starts right in there somewhere. Humility also is being able to relate at all levels, regardless of what our station is in life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God. He has all power and all authority. He can relate to the barefooted leper as well as He can relate to Nicodemus. He is humble. There is no pride there. He can relate to any person. If we have trouble relating to certain classes of people, maybe we need to check our heart, because unbeknownst to ourselves, there may be a little pride there. Humility is also able to take directions from others and to follow directions. And that's an area that some of us may struggle in. Humility is really knowing within ourselves that we don't have anything other than what we have received. Paul had to write that to the Corinthians in his first letter. He said, "What are you all so puffed up about?" Now, I'm paraphrasing Paul, with apologies to Paul, but what are you all so puffed up about? What are you all strutting around about like you're something special because you've got this gift or that gift? And he says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And he says, if any man thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know anything yet the way he needs and ought to know it. And so humility is understanding that whatever station in life and wherever the Lord has put any of us or elevated us to, we don't have all the answers. And anything that we are by the grace of God. So that's what humility is. It doesn't mean that you let people walk all over you. It doesn't mean that you never have a voice or an opinion or that you should not voice it. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you're willing to listen to the other point of view. And it means that you're willing to consider others above yourself and put their needs above your own. Not out of weakness, but out of strength. And so, those are some of the things that I believe humility means. So as we think of that, let's go to the observation part of our notes today. If you're one of those who like to do the notes and all of that, now would be the time to get that and do that. And again, we're covering a lot of ground today, so we're really only just going to be able to touch on some of these points. And maybe some of this will be something to meditate on later on. Okay, number one, godly humility. And it should say is a primary. I think I might have left the word a out there. Godly humility is a primary Christian grace, a basic attitude that controls and modifies a host of thought patterns, responses, and behaviors. Go through that one more time. Godly humility is a primary Christian grace, a basic attitude that controls and modifies a host of thought patterns, responses, and behaviors. Without it, our entire Christian life will be out of balance. Now, what do I mean when I say a primary Christian grace? All of us know about certain things that control other things. Now, I used to listen to shortwave radio quite a bit. How many here have ever had a shortwave radio with multiple bands on it? Anybody? We kind of had to survive that way in Puerto Rico because that's the only way we could get English language gospel broadcasting was through the shortwave radio. But if you have a shortwave radio, you usually have AM, FM, and then you have band 1, band 2, band 3, band 4, band 5. You can run that dial all the way up and down, but if you're not on the band that has the station you desire, you will never tune that station in because you're not on that band. If we do not have humility operating in our lives, then there are a whole other host of qualities and responses and things that are going to be absent from our life because humility is a primary Christian grace that controls and modifies many of our other responses and behaviors. Now, here's one a little closer to home that some of you probably do know. If you have a computer and it has Windows on it, you have a thing called an icon that you click on, and it gets you into all the other stuff. And if you click on Firefox or Explorer, you're in your browser, and then you can go to Google and a whole bunch of other stuff. But if you want to do a document, you have to click on Word or Publisher or one of those, and then get in there. But once you get in there, then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. That's the way humility is. Now, for those who don't understand that, because that is old technology, let's go to your smartphone, and you have a thing called an app, right? What does that app do? Does it not allow you to do certain things? You go to the app first. You don't go to the stuff first and then the app. You go to the app first, then you can do the other stuff that you want to do. And so that is how humility is. If we don't have humility, then there's a whole bunch of other things out there that are going to be absent and are going to be missing. Humility opens up a whole world, a whole area where God can work in us and through us. And if it's not there, those particular areas, for all practical purposes, at least at that time, are shut off to Him. Number two, humility protects us from harmful and hurtful attitudes and behaviors. That right there is one of the biggest advantages of humility. I don't know, maybe you never thought about the benefits of humility. Humility will keep me from feeling things I shouldn't feel and thereby saying things I shouldn't say and taking actions against other people that I shouldn't take against them. So it will protect me. Humility will protect me from a whole host of hurtful thoughts, emotions, points of view, and things that are really not according to the Christian life and the Christian character. And so humility is a great protector. Now, these next here that have the A, B, C, D, E, F, G are all based on the rest of chapter 4 of James and chapter 5. And based on that, we're going to say here, based on this passage from James, what he actually writes, these things are things that he has talked about humility in verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, by the way, James wasn't the only one to write about humility. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Who wrote that? Paul, of course. All right, let's go over to Philippians 2 and verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. We go over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, without the humility, it's going to be hard to have the other qualities there that we need, such as forgiveness and compassion and things like that. Okay, here are some of the things that humility will keep us from, based on the book of James. A, keep us from judgmental and keep us from being judgmental and critical with our brothers and sisters. That's the very next two verses. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but you, who are you who judge your neighbor? So humility will keep us from being judgmental and critical with our brothers and sisters. B, humility will keep us from being overconfident, presumptuous, boastful, or self-assured. And that's where he talks to these people, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to this city and we're going to do that and we're going to do that. We can have big plans, and we don't mean any harm by it. But we just go out there and we just make all kinds of presumptions. And people that have that entrepreneurial spirit, which has been a great thing in America and all that, but one of the pitfalls is that we can get so wound up in that and so caught up in that that it becomes a point of pride. And we get so caught up in it, it just takes over our lives. And after a while, we don't even have a personal life. We don't even have relationships or anything else, because we're just out there saying, you know, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, and all of this, and the projections and the charts, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and so forth. And the thing is, even if it's attained, for a Christian certainly, we want to attain what the Lord wants us to attain, not what our own little selfish goal is. So in any of our pursuit, we need to be checking with the Lord. That's part of humility, is that we keep checking with the Lord. Okay, Lord, what direction do you want us to go at this time? And one of the things that I've, now, slightly different thing, but it's to the point. One of the things I've always admired so much about Billy Graham is, did you know, and I'm sure you do, how many saw the specials he's had on recently? Did you see them on TV the last couple of weeks? Big thing, nationwide, 2.5 million homes. Invited people over to see this so that they could then witness to somebody. I've heard that he's maybe spoke to as many as, I think, a couple hundred million people, belly to belly, you know, in actual arenas and stuff, perhaps more than any living man. But always the humility. We used to get Decision Magazine years ago. I got one magazine from one of these well-known folks one time, and I won't name him. And this person's name was on almost every page. Almost every testimony in there was, ever since I met so-and-so, things have really, really changed. I couldn't figure out if that magazine was about the evangelist or about Jesus Christ. And then we got Decision Magazine, and I still remember where it wrote in there, and it said Billy Graham picked up the phone, I think it was, and called the editor of Decision Magazine and said, too much Billy Graham. Cut it back. That's humility. And it will keep us, you know, because even in ministry, churches today aren't much better than marketing firms in a lot of cases. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do the other. Have you really checked this out with the Lord? And are these priorities the Lord's priorities? And as we hear, we don't have that particular issue here, but we are facing a transition and things like that, and this is a time to be in humility and to be saying, Lord, which direction do you want us to go from here? And be and as he says, don't say we're going to do X, say if the Lord wills. Some of you may have noticed that I often will end a sentence that has to do with future plans, even something we're doing at night, Lord willing. But that is the absolute truth, because we do not have control. We may think we do, but we don't have control of the times or anything. It's all in His hands. Amen? And we need to have that frame of mind and constantly be acknowledging that. Okay, moving on. Humility will keep us from ignoring the plight and neediness of others as we focus on material pursuits. And he's talking here about employers that don't pay their people what they're worth and all of this. How many have heard about, you know, a lot of big name brand stuff that we wear now in this country is made in sweatshops overseas? How many have heard about that? Have you heard about that? The Lord sees every bit of that. And according to this, all of that gold and silver is going to rot and is going to corrode and is ultimately going to testify against the people that became wealthy on the backs of slave labor, what basically amounts to slave labor. Now, we may not go to those extremes, but it's possible that even some of us here today have worked for bosses in the past that overworked us and didn't really pay us what we were worth. The Lord knows all those things. Humility says, I value my employee. I value the people that are under me, and I'm going to do the best by them that I can. Can I hear an amen? Because Christian living is more than just saying religious phrases and being in church. D, humility will keep us from trusting in uncertain riches or making them a point of pride. And he addresses that in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 there. And in a materialistic society like ours, almost all the West, what we call the West, is guilty of this, but our country more than any other. Yes, there is a certain pride in our whatever, wealth and all of that. I thank God, and this time of year, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. I think thankfulness, true thankfulness, is an offshoot of humility, because it acknowledges what the Lord has done, and that whatever we have, we didn't necessarily, even if He allowed us to earn it, but who allowed us to earn it? Who gave us the mind? Who gave us the use of our hands and our eyes and our mouth and our ears? It's the Lord. E, humility will enable us to remain patient in times of difficulty, temptation, or mistreatment by others. He tells them in verses 7 and 8 there, in chapter 5, be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming. We can get a little point of bitterness. We can get a little point of pride. We can say, Lord, why is this happening to me? I don't need this. I don't want this in my life. Whatever. I'm done with this. And we can take those attitudes. Humility will enable us to look to the Lord during those times and say, Lord, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to stay right here doing what You've called me to do until You tell me otherwise. And give me the grace each day in order to see this day through and do what I ought to be doing. And humility will enable us to do that, because it will turn us to the Lord and cause us to depend on Him and wait on Him so that He can work things out His way, instead of us doing it. F, humility will enable us to focus on our own areas of spiritual need rather than on the shortcomings of others. One of the easiest ways to ignore our own faults is to focus on other people's faults. Do you know how I know that? Because like everybody else, I've probably done it. And humility will allow us to be shown. May we never be so proud that we can't hear a word of correction from the Lord, or even from someone else that maybe we think is, you know, we justify ourselves. Well, who are they to tell me that? They're worse than I am. How many of us have ever felt that way if we didn't say it? That's not humility. And it will not bring about the godly change that the Lord wants to bring about. And lastly here, we now go back to where we started at the beginning of chapter 4 and the message from the last time. Humility will make us willing to repent when we have done wrong. And then the cycle starts over again. So in that chart of humility, maybe pride isn't exactly what we always think it is. Maybe we think pride is just people that flaunt themselves and boast all the time. No, my friend, pride can be stubbornness. Pride can be many things. But the Lord is willing to meet the humble. God meets with the humble, not the proud. And every single person that has ever really, truly been to the cross had to come there in humility. Because at the foot of the cross, it is the great equalizer. And there, the Bible school professor has to stand in the same line with the drunk. Because all we, like sheep, have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So wherever the Lord has brought us, oh, it's a wonderful thing. And he's done it by his grace. But let's make sure we're giving him the credit. And as we look around and we survey others who maybe haven't come to that point yet, if we have, the Lord wants to do the same thing in them that he's done for us. So then it bears in humility going before the Lord and saying, Lord, would you do for my friend or for my relative or whoever it is, would you do for them what you have done for me? And he will. Shall we pray? Father, we come today and we acknowledge our need before you. Every single one of us, if we are stripped of those things that we rely on and confide in, we're nothing but a naked sinner standing before you. Every single one of us. And every single one of us have been saved by your grace. And it's a wonderful thing, and we enjoy it every single day. And Lord, help us every day to acknowledge the work that you've done in us. And then just to allow you to work through us, Lord, to be reaching out to people and any way that we can, Lord, because we want to be used of you. We think of our dear Ms. Verna and what an example she was of humility. And she didn't have to say a whole lot, really, because her life backed what she represented, Lord, and that she lived it right here in front of us. What a tremendous lesson to all of us. So, Lord, as we go about our pursuits and all of that, it's fine for us to have a dream or a drive or an ambition to a certain point, but it's all got to be submitted to you, Lord, and whatever it is, Lord, to employ it for your glory. And then give you the glory right back to you whenever you do anything. And help us to be humble with each other, with our mates, with our children, with our parents, with our bosses, with all the people that we brush shoulders with, Lord. And to understand you'll fight our battles if we will but submit to you. Now, Lord, as we come today, we come thankful for your goodness, thankful for your grace, and thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing, it says, to humble himself all the way to death, even death on a cross. And that's something that none of us has yet done. But oh, how we thank you for what he did today. Speak to our hearts today and continue to work in us, we pray, until your complete work is done in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.